If you don't like what we tell you to believe in, we'll kill you.
Stuff.biz.
Hello. So, here we are. I am hosting today with Alex, and Borzoi is going to be a haunting voice floating in the background. Sven is
a
sick.
A specterous haunting podcast.
Sven is sick. His Palestinian next-door neighbor gave him the flu, so he is actually... because, as you know, everyone knows he's very eager to live next door to Palestinians. He's said this many times. And as a result, he has gotten the flu from his...
I would like to live next to him.
Yes.
Hey, why are you saying this, Mike? Are you implying people might take clips out of context or something?
Well, I'm saying that TRS is now the Palestinian next door neighbor real estate agency. Just as we did the Thomas Sowell real estate agency, we are now doing the Palestinian next door neighbor real estate agency. Unfortunately, yes.
You know, the flu is no joke. I remember people used to say this about COVID, like, oh, it's just the flu. I mean, oh, you mean that deadly fucking disease that wipes out whole communities at a time? That thing?
Yeah, the flu bros. It's like, oh, yeah, that thing that just actually, like, that, like, cuts a swath through the population every winter. Like, yeah, that.
Yeah, they just don't talk about it anymore. Yeah, that thing. The thing that used to be incredibly deadly. Now it's just, yeah, it's still deadly. We just don't talk about it as much.
Yes. So, yeah,
some
here we are.
Some years it kills young people. Some years it kills old people. You never know.
Some years it kills Jews.
Well,
yeah,
it's not that specific.
Too bad. Yeah, too bad. But so we have a lot to talk about. I guess update. We're going to start with an update on Jonathan Lewis, the kid from Nevada who was lynched by a black mob. Authorities have made some arrests. What's up?
I was going to say every time somebody says Jonathan Lewis, in my head, John Lewis appears, like that black guy.
Yes, the black guy that everyone pretended to give a shit about
yeah.
when he died. And no one knew about him before he died, and then he died, and everyone was like, oh, man, he died.
It's like, you're John Lewis.
it was sort of like the Holocaust with Jews. It's like John Lewis was like alive at the same time as MLK. So he was like a civil rights era survivor.
Yeah.
And now we have, like, and nobody ever heard of him before until he died. And now we got, like, every Jew that was alive, you know, during this at the same time as Hitler.
As James Holocaust Carlson survivor. As James Carlson would say, literally who?
Right. He was kind of a literally who, though.
Yeah, I know. I will afford. Mike doesn't know this joke. James Carlson calls, like, any, because he's, you know, a Zoomer, he calls any person he's never heard of a literally who, even if they're extremely famous and well-known.
Yeah, that's what's funny. Like, it's somebody who's, like, very well-known. It's like, George W. Bush, literally who? Literally who? Yeah. Anyway, so the Justice Report.
I will afford John Lewis honorary literally who status.
Well, he's actually – no, but see, the problem is that he is a literally who, because even today I bring that up with people and they like have forgotten about all the libtards. It was right at the same time as George Floyd and Black Lives Matter too, and they were like, oh, man, my favorite black icon died. I'm like, you never heard about this guy before, like last week. Shut the fuck up. Like, shut the fuck up. But anyway, we have a Justice Report article here. Police claim no evidence of hate crime in lynching of white student. So what we're led to understand here is that they've arrested. Well, when I heard last night, it was 8 out of 10 they were seeking, and apparently they've gotten all of them. Now they've gotten 10 out of 10 of the students that they were seeking. They're between the ages of 13 and 17, and the police are saying there's no evidence of a hate crime. They also had a FBI team help them make the arrests. And so what I would conjecture here is that this FBI team was involved in this from the beginning as soon as they saw there was a racial crime. So everyone needs to understand this, how the FBI works. When it's a racial crime with a white perpetrator and a non-white victim, the FBI gets involved to make sure it is amplified and promoted as a hate crime and that it is charged as such. Even in cases where legitimately there is no grounds for such a charge, they will actively seek out and try and find excuses for such a charge. In reverse cases, they intervene to make sure that such things are not part of the investigation, that there is no hate crime. And in fact, it is highly likely and actually certain that they intervened with the father of the boy to make sure that he made those statements, which obviously he still made the statements. You know, they can't actually force him to say that. But
yeah, I mean, we're not absolving.
I'm not absolving him, but it's just some context. But
people should know, and a lot of our people do know this, but it's always important to put this out there. The Department of Justice has what they call the Community Relations Service, and if you go to justice.gov/CRS, you'll see this, and it's right there. I'll read what their mission is. CRS serves as America's peacemaker for communities facing conflict based on actual or perceived race, color, national origin, gender identity, sexual orientation, religion, or disability. CRS works toward its mission by providing facilitated dialogue, mediation, training, and consultation to assist these communities to come together, develop solutions to the conflict, and enhance their capacity for independently prevent and resolve future conflict. All CRS services are confidential and provided on a voluntary basis, free of charge to the communities. CRS is not an investigatory or prosecutorial agency and does not have any law enforcement authority. Why do you have to say that?
Why is there a hate crime statistics banner hanging right there?
Why do you feel the need to assure people that this, well, we're totally not an authoritative body?
What is this thing called?
Community Relations Service, right there. So this is the page, and so yeah, creating more welcoming and supporting school environment for all. Well, yeah. So basically, this is the race narrative. This is the race narrative department of the Department of Justice, which has nothing to do with justice.
Why the fuck? Your page says Community Relations Service, and literally the first slide is hate crime statistics.
Yeah.
Well, so Alex,
first thing you see.
I was looking for the CRS in the news, and back in September, Department of Justice offers mediation for Roanoke County schools. Oh. They dispatched the CRS to Roanoke County because over the summer there were basically some rambunctious school board meetings going on, the stuff that probably similar to the Loudoun County stuff.
I could immediately find out a hell of a lot more about that, actually.
So here we go. Let's actually look at their 2022 hate crime statistics page, though. I just want to read this so everyone understands. It's exactly what you'd expect. Key findings and trends. Increase in hate crimes. Data reveals that hate crime incidents increased by 794 in 2022. There were 11,634 cases compared to 10,840 in 2021. Race-based crimes. Hate crimes rooted in race, ethnicity, or ancestry remain the most common. There were 6,557 reported incidents in 2022. Anti-black incidents numbering 3,421 were more than three times higher than the next highest racial or ethnic category. Religion-based crimes. There were 2,042 reported incidents based on religion. More than half of these, 1,122, were driven by... Yes, anti-Jewish bias. Incidents involving anti-Muslim, 158, and anti-Sikh, 181. So the Sikhs actually got more shit than the Muslims did last year. Sentiment, that's because of TRS. Because we're out
just
here
so
running...
Sikh of this.
But TRS is out here running cover for Muslims all the time, so we've like seriously suppressed anti-Islam hate crimes in the U.S. The FBI should thank us.
And the American Tommy Robinson can't find he's being prevented from building bridges with these Sikhs who will help us in destroying the Muslims.
Well, Tommy Robinson wants to advocate for two out of three of these categories against the other.
Okay, right. All right. I found out what was going on in Roanoke. They had a county school board meeting on transgender student policies, and apparently people got upset.
About what you'd expect. So, yeah, in the Department of Justice dispatched CRS there to mediate.
Right.
Totally not intimidation. Totally not managing the population.
Right, which is actually, like, because they say it's not a prosecutorial or investigatory body, so why are you doing it? It's not your job. It has nothing to do with your job. So when you go out to basically manage, and what that is just managing the narrative, because when you release your hate crime statistics, they are all based in the narrative that the Jews are putting out there. That hate crimes on race target blacks, hate crimes based on religion target Jews, and that these categories have to be protected from whites.
Yeah. This school thing, it was basically white parents were pissed off about the tranny shit in the schools. Right. So, of course, the Justice Department's got to step in there.
So the Justice Department shows up, and they probably make it known that they're from the Justice Department. What's that? What kind of effect is that going to have on the parents?
I mean, a community like conflict resolution service, but it is literally part of the Justice Department. Is that appropriate?
Like, what kind of effect is it going to have? Why can't communities deal with this shit themselves? What kind of effect is it going to have on the community when they're there to complain about some policies at their school and there's like representatives of the fuck? They're feds, okay? They're fucking feds. You work for the Justice Department, you're a fed. When feds are there and they tell you, like, yeah, we're here from the United States Department of Justice just to sort of monitor the situation. What kind of effect is that going to have on the community?
They used to have this.
It's going
to
be a no-chilling effect.
They have this that feeling with no chill effect, but there's this narrative that the reason why that police need to be defunded and like it's just because what they say is because of the history of racial profiling and racism in the country. Any encounter that blacks have with police is just inherently fraught because of the expectations they have. Well, that's actually true of white people towards the Department of Justice. Like, no matter how nice this Department of Justice person will come across and as part of their act, their very presence is by its nature intimidating to white people because that's their whole purpose.
Well, because it's brought to you by the same people who did Waco and Ruby Ridge.
Yes! What they say about how blacks, shouldn't have to interact with police is actually true about whites and having to interact with the feds. We shouldn't have to interact with feds under any conditions whatsoever. They're only there to hurt us.
Right.
You might as well just have like the CIA behind this or like the U.S. military. Like our conflict resolution brought to you by the Navy SEALs. Like, oh shit, you're gonna kill everybody?
It's like Jews pretending like they're giving humanitarian aid to the Gaza Strip. You know, it's like the same thing. Like, it's like, hey, Gazans, we're the IDF. We're here to help. You know, that's like literally the same fucking thing. So we can assume that they were there on the ground. They were there on the ground during this little incident, and that they probably had something to do with the reactions. Well, they had definitely have something. They're definitely suppressing the racial aspect of the crime, and they are getting the father. I'm sure they encouraged the father to say those things. Of course, nobody forced him to say them. He's absolutely responsible for saying them, and he should be made to feel ashamed for saying them. And frankly, if he was submitting in some way or taking suggestions from the federal government to say that, that's another thing he should be shamed for. Because you should tell the federal government to fuck off. Because the federal government hates white people and is trying to destroy us. So, like, if you're – it's like one of these, like, okay, you're saying these things, but not only are you saying them, you're cooperating with feds. You know, it's just all around. This is bad news. You shouldn't do it. But so they did arrest these kids. And, of course, the lack of hate crime – I've seen people say, well, you know, on some level – I've seen this conversation going around. I'd say, like, on some level – blacks are just wild animals, and they just lash out in rage. So, you know, attributing some kind of intentionality to them, like a hate crime, like a targeting, rather than just like wild hyenas that saw a victim and attacked. And I'm like, yes, I understand that. And in fact, I think that perception of blacks, even amongst liberals, is one of the reasons why hate crimes charges often don't seem plausible for blacks. However, I would say the problem is that yes, blacks would do this to a black person too, and they did it to a white kid. The problem here is, and this is why I think all such incidents should have an enhancement, is if blacks are going to do that to themselves, fine. But other people don't agree to live like that. Other people don't live by those rules. So if you're going to bring a white kid into your rule of like, oh, he talks shit, therefore we get to beat him to death, or he stepped to me, or he disrespected me, or he scuffed my Jordans, now I get to kill him. other people don't agree to live like that. So anytime you bring someone else into that kind of ethic or morality that the black community has, there should be an enhancement. You don't have a right to drag a white kid into your stupid fucking gang-beating fucking nigger culture. You don't have a right to do that. So get the fuck out of here. That's why it should always be an enhancement if blacks mob and beat up a white person, because we don't want to live by your black rules, your black people rules. It's inherently a cultural, racial thing to rope a white person into that kind of shit. You know what I mean? Anyone? Anyone?
No, I mean, I don't know what else to add. I don't know what else to add to that.
Yeah, that's why it's like, you know, I get it, because it's like, it's sort of like, I get people feel like, well, do you really think that these niggers, like, were like, there's a white kid, let's beat him to death. It's like, sure, I guess I could see you. First of all, yes, I think some of them were saying that. Second of all, I could see some of them maybe not saying that, just being like, there's a victim, let's beat him to death. But like, if you're telling me that that's how blacks are, right? Because inherently, if white people get hate crimes more often, then what you're saying, white people aren't like that. White people have more agency, more intentionality to the things that they do. Black people don't have agency. They just lash out. Okay, well, now we have to deal with this reality. Now that's a reality we have to deal with. If black kids are just wild, crazy, they could go off at any time and just do mob lynchings and beatings of people to death, you know, now we have to deal with that reality. Now that's something we have to take into account. So how are we going to take that into account? Obviously, there's a racial issue here either way. So, yeah. And frankly, white parents shouldn't have to feel that if they're sending their kids someplace that is supposed to be a place where the authorities are supposed to maintain order and discipline, that this kind of thing that niggers do is going to happen to them. That, like, you know, you should be able to send your kids places and not worry about gangs of niggers beating them to death. And it's just outrageous that this is not an assumption that's taken for granted anymore in this country. And yes, it does seem to me that this FBI CRS got involved in order to defuse the situation. And I guarantee you that we are a huge pain in these people's ass. Us specifically.
I looked more into the Roanoke County situation. Conflict resolution agency reached out to them. They rejected it. The local school board rejected and basically said, we don't need your fucking input.
we don't need the feds coming in and like fucking around with our school board. I mean, Jesus Christ. Because what are they going to do? What can they offer? What is the Department of Justice? What do they have to offer your local school board other than trouble? Nothing. That's one good thing I'll say. I do think there does seem to be an attitude amongst Americans generally that, like, the Department of Justice is kind of like nothing but trouble. And you really don't want them around, you know? Like, yeah.
Yeah, I even found a video from the school board meeting. Yeah, they were arresting white people.
All right, let's take a look.
Of course they were.
So the U.S. attorney for the District of Nevada is Jason Frierson. He's black. So I think we have our answers. Well, I mean, there's many answers why, but I think we have immediate answers to why, like, this is not going to be treated with the racial seriousness that it needs to be treated with.
Oh, shit. They were arresting one of these pro-trans protesters. Interesting.
They probably lost their cool. So what is this? Yeah. This is Roanoke.
Protect trans kids! Protect trans kids!
Those look like local cops. Those don't look like feds.
No, because they rejected the feds. No, those are locals.
Okay, yeah.
So wow, it was actually, it looks like the pro-trans people.
So they ejected the feds, and then they were able to arrest a tranny. It's a lesson here for all of us.
That's kind of what it sounded like. The trannies are creating the problem here. We don't need your fucking help.
Yeah, the tranny's creating a problem. Remove fed, remove tranny. Seems like we have the beginning of a solution here.
I mean, is that why the feds wanted to get involved? You guys are doing
well. That actually is the Fed. They just took off their Fed uniform and put on civilian clothes and went back into the meeting. They're like, okay, now I'm no longer here as a Fed. Now I'm here as just a tranny.
How does it protect trans kids to put them in the wrong bathrooms and stuff and get? I don't know. This is
well, trans kids. First of all, trans kids are inherently unprotected because they're children that are being actively victimized by adult abusers. Okay, so like when you say protect trans kids, what you're meaning is like allow me to have my victim. Don't interfere with me victimizing this child is what that should be, because that's what's happening. A trans kid is inherently a child that is being victimized. It's not something real. It's not like there's an actual child who has a condition called trans. What it is a child who's a victim of sexual abuse, and these people are perverted sexual abusers participating in a cycle of sexual abuse that simply want to have their victims without the authorities intervening. That's what protect trans kids means. The people that are actually concerned about this are trying to protect children.
Yeah.
Even if some of them maybe do it in a ham-fisted way or whatever, like, who cares? Like,
crisis in the classroom.
Yeah.
I totally missed out on this controversy. Yeah, there's a lot of stuff going on.
Well, this is something that actually has people pretty activated at the local level.
Wow. Yeah, it's actually like a full-blown like conflict between normal people and these fucking weirdo freaks. Right.
And this is something that's significantly going on actually at the local level. It's fallen out of the headlines more recently, but it's still being fought at the local level. And you know, people I've spoken to that are involved in local politics generally feel like they get annoyed, say, when there's a local political meeting, and somebody comes in with like a national level issue and grandstands and makes statements, they all kind of roll their eyes and wait for it to be over. One of the things that people involved in local politics have found is like, actually, this tranny shit is like a big deal, because suddenly people that never showed up to local meetings are showing up on both sides of this question, and this is actually a battle that is significantly now being fought out at the local policy level. And frankly, unfortunately, if local communities deliver too many defeats to this agenda, you know, that's why the Justice Department shows up to monitor these events and to intervene and to mediate and all that stuff, because ultimately they're going to try and get some kind of federal top-down mandates going on to make sure that local communities simply are just mandated not to stop any tranny stuff, because just like they did with faggot stuff, you know, the same thing. So
yeah, because they've been running with this narrative for a while now that you've got like it's the parents are the problem.
People, oh yeah, they've been saying that forever.
They care about what happens to their children or they send them off to school. That's the problem. These parents, they're too involved with their children.
Well,
they care about them a little too much.
Yeah, well, they feel like they have a right that they're setting the social narrative and the social standard, and they have a right to not have interference from people that don't agree with that. And it's like, no, you really don't. Any society can expect that, like, hey, if we have a standard for education, maybe there are some people that don't agree with it, but then it's their responsibility to actually deal with those people in a decent way. And it shouldn't be something like kids cutting their dicks off.
Yeah.
You know, you actually do have a responsibility to people's families and their children if you're the government. You don't get to, you're not supposed to just be like stomping on them and like issuing diktats and like, or, you know, removing diktats, you know, whatever it might be. But like, You're not really supposed to be just doing that and treating these people with this utter, because again, it's not about, you know, it's not about them. And like, are there even? I mean, the thing is, people say, are there even any trans kids in this community? And it's like, well, if you start protecting trans kids, pretty soon you'll have them, because that's the whole point of this, right? The whole point of this is to give access to the kind of people who turn kids trans to your kids. Give access to your kids to them. That's the whole purpose of all of this. And it just has to be. So I actually think this is one thing where, like, we're basically just in agreement with conservatives. And the activism that they're doing on this has been pretty good. And I just worry that the same thing that all happens to all conservative activism will happen. And eventually they'll just be pro-tranny. Like, conservatives will just consider pro-tranny being a position.
Yeah, I don't know. You've got that one Orthodox Jew that's in the middle of all of this. The one who runs libs and TikTok is always trying to insert herself into the anti-trans movement.
Right. But it's like, yeah, but that's like, again, that's sort of like a TikTok channel or a Twitter channel. It's not really, you know, other than just showing dumb trannies like melting down on
trans and pro-Israel.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, right. her account does like serve multiple purposes in that it directs people to direct their rage towards individual social media type stuff. I know she gets dabble somewhat into like the whole James Lindsay sphere of trying to oppose it on the local level as well. But a lot of the libs of TikTok stuff tends to focus very much on more personality driven stuff, which directs people's attention to that.
It's just making fun of people that are doing dumb shit on TikTok. Like, there's a lot of conservative content like this. Yeah.
Well, and then when she gets attacked by liberals, they are able to do the anti-Semitism angle. They use her a lot to push the whole that wokeism is anti-Semitism. She's a huge component within that.
Yep. Yeah. And wokeism, just so everyone understands, and it's become very clear in the last month and a half, the whole anti-woke movement was just a Zionist movement. And that's the whole purpose of it. And they have now started to call those markers in to all those personalities that became something in the anti-woke movement and make them be like, okay, now it's time to pay off the debt and become and be pro-Israel. And most of them are doing it. Some of them aren't. Most of them are.
There's been some high-profile defections, though, like with Carlin Borsenko. Like, it's been kind of funny watching.
Well, she's kind of a low-profile.
I guess that's a good point. Like,
she wasn't really.
Yeah. I'm really being kind of dumb saying high-profile.
I was going to say, like, Candace Owens seems a little bit more of a big deal than that.
Yeah, what's going on with Candace Owens lately?
Well, Candace Owens is going to get fired.
I have the actual clip right here. That's
I want to see it.
Cause the stir.
From Ben Shapiro.
I'm excited.
Well, of Candace doing the thing that made one of the things that made Ben Shapiro very mad. It's on this account called The Real A Dog. I'm going to call him The Real A Log. Yeah.
Dude, there's I saw a whole list of Candace Owens shit that she'd been saying for several weeks of tweets and public statements that I was like, damn, I can't believe Ben Shapiro hasn't fired her yet.
Oh, okay. Yeah. So, this seems to have really, this is just the latest thing that's been going on that people have been talking about with that. I know that Candace and Ben Shapiro unfollowed each other on Twitter, and she's about to go on Tucker Carlson. There's speculation she's going to probably go into that sphere. And
she's
going to
be gone.
Podcast thing.
Is she working for the Daily Wire? Is she working for Prager? Which one she works for?
No, Daily Wire. She's Daily Wire.
Okay. Yeah, she's going to be gone. There's actually a good article on this on Information Liberation. Let me see. He has a whole list of. Okay. So here we have. Let's just bring it up. Here we have Ben Shapiro. Talking about
this. Yes, and then the question is about Candace Owens. I think her behavior during this has been disgraceful. Without a doubt. I can't pause that. Yeah. I think she's been absolutely disgraceful. I think that her faux sophistication on these particular issues has been ridiculous. It's not faux sophistication, it's ridiculous. Everybody can see the moves that she's making and the things that she's saying, and I find them disreputable.
I like how he doesn't actually explain it. Like, he's like, faux sophistication, meaning that he's saying that she's trying to do, like, she's being, like, overly complex with, like, and it's she's actually not being sophisticated. She's not, she's just saying, like, we don't need foreign wars.
Sounds like somebody's still mad about the old Kanye West debacle.
So, here's Candace Owens. Right, so here's Candace Owens. And she's retweeting Nikki Haley. Nikki Haley said there would be no Hamas without Iran. It's not that Israel needs America. America needs Israel. And Candace Owens says, do you know which country you're currently running for president within? This is becoming insufferable. And she says, no government anywhere has a right to commit genocide ever. There is no justification for a genocide. I can't believe this even needs to be said or is even considered the least bit controversial to state. She's going to get fired. And then she says, now this is kind of dumb, but she's saying, I agree with Queen Rania of Jordan. Remember when everyone used to talk about how hot Queen Rania was?
No.
Back in the day. Oh, you don't remember
and
this?
How badass the King of Jordan was.
They would look at the King of Jordan because he had some dumb clown suit on with a bunch of medals and shit. And the guy never even picked up a gun in his life. But, like, yeah, he has, like, a hot... Yeah, imagine that. A guy who's, like, a king has, like, a hot wife. Wow. But, King of
never,
what,
never, never, never seen that before.
Yeah, never happened. Never. That's a rare... That's an unusual one, yeah. He literally probably just picked, like, the hottest chick that's, like, half white in Jordan. So I agree with Queen Rania's assertion that anti-Semitism is being weaponized in order to silence critics and bully people into compliance. That Charlie Kirk, Elon Musk, and Thomas Massie have recently been smeared as anti-Semites is proof of this charge. This is the same behavior. And we have...
Oh, Queen Rania is of... Palestinian descent. I didn't know that.
She looks like she's basically almost entirely white. There are some people in Palestine that look like that. Palestinians actually are a fairly mixed race group, as are Lebanese and Jordanians, because it's right there in that crossroads where, like, Europe and the Middle East and all these places cross. Yeah. So you have
Levantine Arabs will run a longer gamut on phenotypes. You will see some that are more whitish or off white, as I like to call it. And then you also see some that are like, oh, that's more classic Arab. But yeah, it's because of the
more Greek dusky and
Roman history there. Yeah.
More dusky Arab,
the Greek and Roman history there.
Yeah, well, there's just been white people mingling in and out of that area for a long time. It's like it's literally like a crossroads. I mean, frankly, this is actually an interesting thing. Jerusalem is kind of right at a place that is a crossroads of civilizations, and it's interesting that Jews insist on occupying such a place. But yeah,
it's an extremely old city.
Yeah. So there's more. So here, let's see. Here are. Something from AF Post, which I'm assuming is like some America First post or something like that.
It's a Groyper outlet. In fact, actually, that Autumn Groyper tweet earlier was Nick Fuentes, the one that you played the video off of. That was.
Oh, I didn't even see that. I didn't even see that was Fuentes' account. That's funny. Yeah, I knew that he was Autumn Groyper, but I didn't see that. It was anyway. Yep. So here is this. Let's see how long is the video.
There are a lot of people in America that are sitting here going, okay. Well, can you answer why Jews are so special? Because as white people in this country on university campuses, we are being taught that we are not allowed to have a voice. We have had to endure exactly what you're talking about, BLM. We've endured much worse than you have because it's in the actual textbooks. We are being told that we are systematically racist, that we are born wrong because of the color of our skin. And if we say anything, we'll lose everything. This is the typical experience.
She's speaking as what she's hearing white people say.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. So she's not saying we. She's basically saying, I'm hearing white people say.
Yeah, I didn't know how far down the rabbit hole we were going here.
Yeah. That she actually started thinking she was white. Yeah. could be. Might be, you know.
Experience on white campuses. So people, this is not whataboutism. This is like actually what we have been fighting for years. So it sort of arrived as, I think, for a lot of Americans, a surprise when they're saying, well, now that it's about Israel, which is something that's overseas, we need to, you know, hand these university professors, we need to do something about this issue. Why weren't we trying to correct course on this issue? Why weren't donors pulling their funding out of these universities? Why weren't these same things being said for these last, I would say, 8 years of rampant BLM, white man can't do anything right, actively being taught in the classrooms? So,
and frankly, Jews know, and we know, and Candace Owens knows, anybody that asks that question knows the answer.
You can hear the Tucker Carlson talking points.
Yeah, and I'm not suggesting that Candace Owens is like, actually, does Tucker say that?
That kind of like that. I hear that kind of rhetoric. Like, well, like she's the way that she's presenting it now. Because she isn't as smart as Tucker. She's being a little bit more blunt than Tucker would have been.
I would say she's being more honest. I'd say she's being more honest. I never hear Tucker Carlson say white people ever.
I know, and that's but I mean, like the way he presents it in terms of.
Oh yeah, why is it like this when the other thing is like this? Everybody does that, but I'm saying like, Candace Owens, look. I'm not saying she's like based or anything, and maybe she's running her own angle or whatever. Maybe she's fed up. I don't know. I can't get in her head. But what she's saying is valid. What she's actually saying here is valid, and it's frankly better than anything I've ever heard Tucker say. Now, I also sort of object to the fact that, like, we are in a situation where a black woman gets to say these things, but white men that say these things get shut down. I mean, that's another thing you could say, Candace. You could even say that. If she would say that, I would actually be like, good for you. She actually said, I'm allowed to say this because I'm black, but I know white men who would say the same thing, and they will just not be allowed to say this. They'll get shut down.
I feel like she's done that before.
Well, good for her, then. Good for her.
Yeah.
Good for her.
I seem to remember, because I remember, this is not the first time I've heard this kind of stuff from Candace in the way that she talks.
I've heard her say stuff that's good before. I'm not saying she's based. She's obviously running some kind of thing because she was working for Dennis Prager and all this shit, and she said really retarded and awful things in the past. But it's sort of interesting. Maybe she's covering – maybe she considers herself to be covering some kind of base for them. I don't know. But this is actually a problem for them, people saying these kinds of things and people connecting these kinds of dots. And as we see from the Jonathan Greenblatt schwitzing over Gen Z, you know, a lot of white people in Gen Z are saying this. So leftists in Gen Z are all about, like, you know, they're gonna do the anti-Israel thing because of the classic – sort of narrative on Israel-Palestine, the classic leftist narrative on it. They're going to be doubling down on that. But now you got right-wingers who are asking these kinds of questions. You know, and frankly, a lot of that's because of us. Not just TRS and us, but like the whole thing that happened with the Trump movement, the whole white movement that happened inside the Trump movement was.
Yeah. I don't think it helps when you've got people like Nikki Haley going out there and literally arguing like she is running to be president of Israel. That doesn't help to have leaders trying to be elected making those kinds of arguments, because people start to ask the question. Even boomers will ask this question, like,
yes.
Wait, what fucking country are you in?
Right. I mean, the Republican debate was a fucking disgrace. And it was like people watching that, like, really, I can't even imagine boomers being like, wait, legitimately, what country is this debate about?
They are. Right? I can tell you, now this is just anecdotally, but I can tell you anecdotally from the boomers in my life, where they typically are is they really, really hate Democrats, they hate wokeism. And from their perspective, what they see it as, because they speak to me about this, it's destroying this country. They don't care about the foreign policy stuff one bit. They care about what's going on domestically in the United States. And when they see it, what this Israel war has done, like the way it's made it so much more blatant that they can't miss it now, they are asking, like, what is going on? What country are you supposed to be the president of? And Candace Owens is kind of a bit of a boomer whisperer, which is why she did the whole thing of I nominate Nikki Haley for president of Israel.
Yeah.
She knows how to speak on the blunt lingo, in the, you know, one being black, so they love that. But
they love black.
She speaks in that blunt way that they really like, that, like, the kind of like the Fox News boomers really like.
I feel like Candace Owens might be a little bit even like too intelligent for boomers. But here she's saying this. She says this because there's a tweet by somebody, Mary Margaret Olihan, who is saying, new, Governor DeSantis just ordered the University of Florida and the University of South Florida to deactivate their Students for Justice in Palestine group for violating Florida's laws against anti-Semitism. And she says this. I'll ask the obvious question here. Do people believe that in the future moves like this will increase or decrease feelings of anti-Semitism? Do you think these students are going to shut down and think, well, I guess we have to support Israel now? This is a serious question, and I would go one further, which is to say, well, do you really think that Jews given the power to just shut down groups like this are going to stop with Students for Justice in Palestine? No, they're not going to stop with that. In fact, they haven't stopped with that. In fact, they've had this power all along, and they just have not. They're now coming for Students for Justice in Palestine. It was a little bit harder to do it against the Palestinian kids and white kids because there actually were organized activist groups on behalf of Palestine that would fight for their rights. Some of them even with, you know, left-wing Jews in there because they feel like they need to keep this base covered, which again is part of the whole struggle between these factions of Jews that we've been talking about, which is not to say there's any actually pro-Palestinian Jew. There isn't, but they feel they need that's too inflammatory of a thing. It's too powerful of a movement for them not to get out in front of. That's what that's basically explains it. And everyone should understand that. And anybody that finds that too complicated that Jews want to control their opposition should go back to, like, frankly, their Judaism 101 course. But so here she says again, someone is saying to her, so Christians should join in with the hate? Is the hate Israel crowd too? Is that what I'm hearing? Is anti-Semitism on the side of the right now? Is it not enough that we have 50% or greater of the left who are anti-Semites? And so Candace Owens says, respectfully, if you think it is anti-Semitism to notice that innocent Christians were killed in an IDF bombing, then you need to log off the internet and have your brain examined, respectfully. So I can assume that what I can assume that what Candace Owens may is that she pointed out that Jews were hitting churches and bombing Christians as well, which is something that Jews that are occupying the little corner of the conversation, I guess, that Candace Owens is in, want to actively cover up because people like Dennis Prager are actively appealing to, frankly, retarded Christians. And so what's funny is that somebody in this sphere, Candace Owens, makes a criticism of Israel, and they legitimately are, like, thunderstruck. And she probably said something like, hey, look, Israel bombed Christians. And so now this person – and this is why these people are so fucking despicable. This is why these Christian Zionists are absolutely so despicable. Israel bombed Christians. They bombed the church. Oh, we're supposed to hate and be anti-Semitic now, but the left is anti – it's like – you should have been anti-Semitic all along, you fucks. I mean, these people disgust me. There's nothing more disgusting than a Christian Zionist.
Yeah.
Nothing.
Well, that's what this Hamas this war of Hamas has really exposed, is how it's jamming the narratives that we're used to keeping people in. And a lot of people mm-hmm. are noticing things and asking questions. People in my life, I never expected to ask the questions that they've been asking. I've watched this unfold firsthand. It's been an amazing thing to watch this over the course of the last month.
Oh, and here's another one. I'll stop reading Candace Owens' tweets after this one. He says, I don't know who needs to hear this today. But she's also doing the thing that says it does not make you anti-Semitic to want to stay out of an overseas conflict. I don't agree. I think it does. If you don't want to support Israel, you're an anti-Semite, and that's fine. The problem is we have to remove this stigma. We have to challenge this classic stigma, this long-held stigma against anti-Semites. All right, we need to remove the stigma of anti-Semitism, because frankly, like, yes, not wanting to stay. Wanting to, because I'll be honest with you, the Jews aren't wrong when they say America stopping supporting Israel means Israel will be gone. And I'm like, yes. Right. Yeah, exactly. Correct. I agree. That's why I want America to stop supporting Israel. If that's the price, it's what I'm willing to pay. You know, there it is. You know,
we need community relations service to listen to the concerns and fears of the anti-Semitic community.
Well, yeah, exactly right. Well, here's my question. I'm like, if Israel can't exist, because you can follow a chain of logic here, right? Israel can't exist without America. Okay, it can't. Right? Like, the state will collapse if American support stops. Like, the military, diplomatic, and economic support that America lends to Israel, without America, the state of Israel won't exist. That is absolutely true. Yet, can Jews, knowing this, can they afford to let, frankly, the people that live in America, the overwhelmingly white, or not majority white, not overwhelmingly majority, but the majority white country and significantly brown country of America, can it make its own democratic decisions on this? Because if Israel literally will not exist without American support, can the Jews afford to let America make its own decisions? No, they can't. They have to be in control of all the policy-making apparatus here, because they cannot afford the thought that maybe we'll be like, hey, Jews, what's with the genocide? We're going to pull out. We're not helping you anymore because this shit you're doing isn't – we don't want to stand by that. They can't risk that. And the very feelings, the default sentiment of the American public, right and left – when they're not being exposed to nonstop war propaganda after an immediate incident like Pearl Harbor or 9/11, they default back to their old, it's none of our business. Everyone defaults back to that basic old America first isolationism. This isn't our business. That's the standard view on foreign policy. One thing you can say about Americans, there's a lot you can say, but the overseas empire that this country maintains is not popular with the people. It's not.
Right.
So Jews simply can't afford Americans to control their own government, because if they do, then their little country goes bye-bye. And that's the whole point. That's the whole point. That's why they fight so hard against us. That's why they fight hard against white nationalists, why they fight hard against America First, why they fight hard against even just peaceful people that are pro-peace and anti-imperialism. Because they know that if America makes its own democratic decision on its own foreign policy, Israel will cease to exist. That's why
I posted a link in the chat of Nikki Haley talking about social media.
Yeah. So this is another thing. Nikki Haley, on behalf of Israel, has decided that everyone needs to be doxxed.
This clip is amazing because even in the right-hand corner, you have now March for Israel.
we got to talk about that March for Israel shit. That shit was wild. Also, real quick, we are still in hour one. Let me turn this off for a second before we do this. We are still in hour one of the show. We need you guys to, listening to this, if you're listening to the free version, you need to go to therightstuff.biz/paywall and get a subscription. You can use either cryptocurrency or you can send check or money order. I think this very well might be one of the last days you can actually use the Odyssey credit card sign up. We don't know what's going to happen after November 16th. If you are listening after November 16th, that option might not be available to you. But go get a subscription, support the show, support the site, support the network so we can keep bringing you guys this stuff. I don't know if Alex and Borzoi want to also add their endorsement to that.
The right stuff.biz/paywall. You won't hear this anywhere else.
Yes. There's nowhere else you're going to hear the messages unfiltered as you're going to hear it here, frankly. I don't know of any other place, at least in America. There may be a few places in other countries, but in America.
And why not, you know, you see clips that are taken out of context. Why not listen to the context for yourself?
Get a paywall. So that when people take clips out of context to try and attack us, you can listen to the whole thing and understand what we're trying to say because they're not going to show you. Like, what was it, the supercut somebody made of everybody? We're all saying we're all gay, like we're all gay Jews or something. you can do like a you can do like a 5-minute supercut of that, right?
Just like a dedicated coalition.
Trying to
hurt our reputations.
Well, you know, that's what happens. Right? That's what happens when you say the kinds of things that we say.
Just doing a show here, you know. Don't like the show. Let's listen to it.
We're out here telling you what we think. Yep. Maybe sometimes screaming and ranting about what we think, but you know, that's what people like to see. People like that kind of stuff. It's entertaining and it's fun, and we're giving you actually what the fuck is going on. And you're angry, we're angry. Sometimes people that feel really angry enjoy watching somebody else get really angry about something because they get a cathartic release from that too. And I'm here to do that for you. So get a paywall.
Sometimes people say sarcastic things. Sometimes they crack jokes. It's fun. We have fun here.
Also,
come have fun with
us. You know,
Jesse,
who is sick today, he also enjoys sometimes giving you the cathartic release of having an outburst on your behalf because he knows that you want to have one too. He's absolutely about that. We're all about that. So yeah, here we are. Anyway, we'll get back to the show now. But yeah, everybody, support the show. Support the network. We can't do it without you. We are 100% listener funded. We do not take any money from anything Jewish, and that means it's very difficult to do media without doing that. So here we are. Here's Nikki Haley saying everybody needs to get doxxed. Effectively. This is a Republican.
I love the context of this because she starts talking about anti-Semitism bubbling under the surface. Like, that's how this starts off.
Yeah.
When I get into office, the first thing we have to do, social media accounts, social media companies, they have to show America their algorithms. Let us see why they're pushing what they're pushing. The second thing is every person on social media should be verified by their name. That's, first of all, it's a national security threat. When you do that, all of a sudden people have to stand by what they say, and it gets rid of the Russian bots, the Iranian bots, and the Chinese bots. And then you're going to get some civility when people know they're...
I think there's a certain type of bot you missed.
Yeah, and I think
you're forgetting someone. Is there someone you've left out?
Bot has a huge issue with that, Nikki.
There's another bot you've forgotten.
it's that consent. Isn't there somebody you forgot to ask?
That's exactly. Isn't there a bot you forgot to mention?
I consent. Isn't there somebody you forgot to mention?
Yeah, see, you picked up what I was putting down, you know, but yeah, anyway, here we are. Hold on.
First of all, it's a national security threat. When you do that, all of a sudden people have to stand by what they say. And it gets rid of the Russian bots, the Iranian bots, and the Chinese bots. And then you're going to get some civility when people know their name is next to what they say.
Accountability.
And they know their pastor and their family member is going to see it. It's going to help our kids and it's going to help our country. When I get into office, the first thing we have to do.
I think it's kind of funny that she mentions Russia, Iran, and China. Like, did you get that that list from certain people who have decided those are our national enemies?
She got that list from the same bots that she didn't mention.
Yeah. Interesting.
So what bot gave you that? What kind of bot are you? I mean, she's a bot.
Candace Owens was signal boosting this thing, and they're calling her Dickie Haley. Like Dick Cheney.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Yeah, it's interesting how it seems that Nikki Haley is being thrust into the spotlight a lot here. The Jews really like her, even though no one else does.
I don't think it's good to have Pajitz like involved in our politics because they take the Israel shit way too far. Pajitz are just so
Pajitz are always doing Israel. It right, and even Vivek Ramaswamy, like he's sort of interesting when he's talking about anything but Israel, but as soon as that comes up, it's like he becomes just like insufferable. He's pretty insufferable anyway. But, like, I also feel like his little moment is over because, like, now, because basically he no longer is able to differentiate himself by essentially being kind of like kind of like a crypto America first style isolationist libertarian small government guy. Like, he can't really do that because everyone needs to be on board for war for Israel. So it's like that little act has to be dropped. And it seems like since Ron DeSantis is like an utter failure just because he's actually just like a preening faggot that people can't stand when they actually see him, it seems like they're now thrusting Nikki Haley forward as potentially the one to rival Trump now. It seems like
that's what I wanted to ask you. Some of the DeSantis people move back over to Trump, but do you think there's some kind of split going on with? Because obviously she's the establishment preference as well. Do you think some of the DeSantis people went over to Nikki Haley?
I don't
as
know
well
if, any,
as
if anyone went over to Nikki Haley, but I think that the money and the support of the sort of establishment. I think a lot of DeSantis people are going to Nikki Haley. Actually, yes. I don't know. I don't have any specifics, but I think that it does seem to me this shift. Because DeSantis has just been out of the news, and she's been in the news. I mean, DeSantis is going back to doing Florida things, like giving Jews $45 million.
Return to Florida, man.
Yeah, like he basically gave Jews in Florida $45 million to like secure synagogues just recently. And it's like, oh, because there's no way they could have afforded that on their own.
Here's a little pocket money for you.
Yeah, there's no way Jews have the money to like hire security for their own synagogues. The government definitely has to do that. That's definitely something that the government needs to do. You notice how you really also notice it's not even just the Israel thing, it's all related to Israel. But you notice how like every single institution in America, and this includes the GOP, in fact, particularly the GOP, is coming out and suggesting that like literally Jewish people. Feeling comfortable is like literally is the most important thing. Period. Like we need to give Jews $45 million in Florida so they can feel comfortable in their synagogues.
We got to get rid of anonymity on the internet because of something that happened across the planet in Israel.
Yeah. There's no real reason to actually also think the national security of America is threatened here at all. Iran actually does not threaten America. Iran is very far away. They do not have the capacity to reach our country with ballistic missiles. Their navy couldn't come and touch our shores without long being intercepted and destroyed by our navy. They simply do not have the capacity to threaten us, just like Iraq had absolutely no capacity to threaten us in 2003. There is no ability. The Iranians are a threat to Israel, absolutely, but they are no threat to us. And I would say to Israel, well, what is it you're doing that's pissing them off? Maybe you should stop. Because it's not my problem. Because Iran doesn't threaten me. No Iranian ever did anything to me. No Iranian is telling me that everyone on social media needs to be doxxed.
Yeah.
I've been listening to The Twilight War by David Crist. It's about our 30-year Cold War with Iran. And it's really funny because this guy's a government he's a government hack, he's a government historian. So he's talking about Iran as this massive threat to the United States. It's like all you're doing is getting into these tiffs with them in the Strait of Hormuz. What are we doing there?
Yeah, there's no real and the funny thing is, even these other countries where if they say like, oh, they don't want to mention Israel, so they're like, okay, it's like shipping lanes, right? Like Strait of Hormuz or oil. Or oil security is our concern because we use oil, so we want to make sure these Arab countries are still. And I'm like, war is the worst way to do any of that. Like, all you have to do for shipping lanes and oil is just like make a deal with these countries. They like money. We have money.
Yeah, well, that's the thing. Any ex-libertarian can immediately recite from memory what happened in 1953 in Iran. And I just saw a really mm-hmm. funny headline about this. Check this out.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
Speaking of the 1953 CIA coup in Iran, it was funny because Stephen Kinzer's book, All the Shah's Men, covers this. The BP was planning on basically just bringing in African workers to work on on the oil rigs in Iran as a punishment to the Iranians.
Now, I got to say this. I am actually interested in more knowledge about this because I realize there's like a gap in my knowledge about the 1953 coup in Iran because everything I know about it comes from those old days of being a leftist and basically basing assumptions on their very, very faulty analysis of U.S. foreign policy that it is based on oil. So I need to revisit this and do some research and see if there's other issues going on because the idea that U.S. foreign policy is based on securing oil is like one of the most wrong ideas that is continually perpetuated by leftists.
Regardless of the reasoning, you've got the CIA finally acknowledging that it was undemocratic what they did, that they were the bad guys.
Right.
And so you've got a country that is waving its dick at Iran and also acknowledges, yeah, we did something terrible in that country.
Right. I mean, yeah, that is true. Even if this was like the rare, like the one time, like the, you know, one time they actually did something for oil, which again, I'm highly suspicious of that. But anyway, let's press forward. You know, it is like, okay, so they had a populist nationalist guy be elected. And the story goes, according to the left, that he was going to nationalize the oil fields and then the CIA overthrew the country and handed it over to the Shah. Now, the Shah had always existed. And they were there, but they were sort of like figureheads. They were like it was like the monarchy in Britain, sort of like they were there, but they weren't really running the country. It was actually they had turned the country over to like a parliament, and they were having a democracy. Right? They're actually kind of doing like copying a British style of government there. Like this monarchy was there for flair, but you had a parliamentary government otherwise. And this Mossadegh guy comes in and he's like, he's nationalizing the oil. CIA overthrows him and they hand the actual government over to the monarchy. And now they're doing like brutal dictatorships. And of course, it becomes Jew occupied, Israeli occupied territory. And the Shah was a puppet, basically a puppet of Israel. Now, there's clips that people like to pass around from the 60s or the 50s of the Shah, of Reza Pahlavi talking all kinds of shit on the Jews in Israel. And I'm like, I take that as serious as I take Erdogan talking shit on the Jews in Israel. He's not going to do anything. He's just talking shit.
Yeah, he just called Israel terrorist state earlier today.
Okay, so why are you sending them oil? Stop sending them oil. What Erdogan is literally like doing Trump, he's like a Turkish Trump right now. He is basically talking a lot of shit to keep the Turks happy, but he's not going to do a goddamn thing. So, yeah.
Some of the commentary on this is kind of interesting. Mm-hmm. There's some sort of, I guess, podcast for ex-spooks or something. CIA spokesman and podcast host Walter Trozen cites the claims of agency historians that the majority of the CIA's clandestine activities in its history bolstered popularly elected governments. We should acknowledge, though, that this is, therefore, a really significant
exception. When the hell have they done that?
He's saying that this was an exception.
I want to know when the hell you've... What?
Yeah.
Well, the other thing is, right now, the Iranian government is a popularly elected government, and they've been doing gay ops for fucking 40 years. Like, you can't deny... Like, all these claims that these countries aren't democracies, that's bullshit. Russia, the government is popularly elected. In Iran, the government is popularly elected. Now, America's going to say, well, your elections are a sham. I'm like, America... When you talk about elections being a sham, you really don't have much of a fucking argument to make that, you know, I mean, come on now.
Speaking of that, this just triggered a memory. Do you remember Stuxnet?
Yeah.
where we sabotaged a bunch of Iran's nuclear.
Yeah, they hacked a nuclear reactor and made it blow up. That was also done out of Israel. A lot of that, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, what are you talking about? But the thing is, it's like you've always done this with Iran. You're still doing it today.
Yeah.
Because after the Shah, there was a popular uprising, and now they have a popular elected government. And if you think that this government is a big problem, maybe you shouldn't have fucked around in 1953. I mean, that was also a lot of what the leftists' arguments about this were, was that the CIA and America did all this agitation against the Iranian government. But, like, they created the situation by creating and in fact, you want to know what's funny? This is actually a classic error that the Jews and America have made in the Middle East generally, is they actually overthrow secular, sort of left-leaning, secular, nationalist-type regimes or bodies, and then they're replaced by Islamic bodies, and they think, like, this is going to help because, you know, in the West, secular nationalist type stuff is a much bigger threat to Jews than religion. Like, religion is a de-radicalizing element here, but it's not in the Middle East. Islam is not a de-radicalizing element. So when you undermine and destroy secular leftist groups, you get Islamic groups replacing them. The most glaring example is the destruction of the PLO and the creation of Hamas and Hezbollah. Like they fucking went into Lebanon in the 80s to get rid of the PLO. They got rid of it, and they ended up making a much bigger problem for themselves. Because
I mean, they did the same thing in South America, too.
Yeah.
They'll overthrow democracies down there, and then you end up with a dictator. Maybe not necessarily a religious dictator, but you end up with a dictator nonetheless. Yeah. You end up with civil war. And CIA is just swimming in blood. Swimming in it.
Yeah, but it's particularly interesting in the Middle East because it's like, yeah, like you had a secular kind of left-leaning nationalist Iranian government. You overthrew them for a king, and now you've got the Islamic Republic, which is democratic but is also much more radical and much more hardcore than Mossadegh ever would have been. You probably could have gotten... Yeah.
Oh, no, you're 100% on point, because the issue with Iran essentially was that it was going through a lot of turmoil and it was soft, and Mossadegh was a liberal nationalist essentially, and they wanted more autonomy in the country, but they put this, because of their proximity to the Soviet Union, there were fears that this softness made them I think it's the Two Day Party, which was the Communist Party there, was growing. Mossadegh was trying to help the population there, but he was also being very friendly to the Arab states, which were closer with the Soviet Union. Mossadegh had established pretty good relationships with Egypt, not so much Lebanon, but Egypt especially. Israel was kind of ambivalent on them because they weren't really sure what to expect from Iran with what they were going through. But as soon as he was gotten rid of, ties between Iran and Israel strengthened under the Shah.
Yeah.
There was just too much they couldn't control in the Iranian situation that they wanted to get rid of him. And oil was a partially driving factor in that, but I mean, you have to look at it geopolitically as well. But because they didn't have somebody like Mossadegh who wanted to help the poor in that country, Khomeini was able to appeal to both the underrepresented on both their economic and also their religious and anti-Zionist means. He was able to hit all three points that mattered a lot to the Iranians.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and frankly, the 1979 revolution was an anti-Jewish revolution. That wasn't its only motivation, but they did kick Jews out of the country. And that's what Jonathan Greenblatt's wife is an Iranian Jew. And the book that he came out with recently talking about anti-Semitism and stuff is actually preoccupied with Iran and stories of, like, Jews getting kicked out of Iran in the 1979 revolution. So yeah. And frankly, now this large, relatively wealthy country with a highly sophisticated military is, like, very large, too. Look at the map. This country's big.
Yeah.
You know, like, it's like that's
and
a all, big,
and also
that's
the
scary.
United States constantly messing with them has given them opportunity to constantly test their own military might against the United States because they're constantly getting messed with for 30 years.
And it gives them the reason to do it. It gives them motivation to do it. It gives them an excuse to do it with their own population. It gives them a credible – the Iranian government going to the population of Iran, like, look, America is literally trying to destroy our country. It's like – that's just true. Yeah. So they get popular support for all this shit. Yeah. And they've got I'm sure that they have some. I mean, they obviously have deals with Russia. I mean, they were selling all their drone technology to Russia, and I'm sure Russia has helped them with their ballistic missile capabilities. And this is a big problem. It's a big fucking problem. And in fact, the
fucking metal the United States does not ever seem to work out in their interest. This is the same thing with North Korea. North Korea, under Clinton, we had kind of a decent little handle on that situation. And then under Bush, things got heated because of the Americans. And then now North Korea's got nuclear weapons. So how did that turn out?
Right. The United States has to use so-called, like, the diaspora and so-called Iranian dissidents to be able to mess internally with Iran. And those people have no credibility.
They're all fags.
Yeah, David Chris talks about this in The Twilight War, that basically even the United States CENTCOM is skeptical of any use of these Iranian dissidents because they have no credibility and they're perceived as basically narcissistic, egomaniacal goofballs. They make fun of them all the time because every Iranian dissident thinks they're going to be the future leader of Iran, and they basically make all these extravagant promises.
And they're all grifters. To the United States
about how. Yeah,
they're all grifters. A lot of them are probably just doing it for money from America. They're all fucking grifters. Yeah, it's retarded. And the thing is, the fact of the matter is that the reason that this happens is because American foreign policy is not carried out in the interest of America. It's just not. And as a result, like, you could say any country can do dumb shit, can make errors and fuck up. But America does it so consistently and with such regularity that you have to assume there's some policy that's not on the table, and it is. It's Israel. Like, they cannot possibly justify any of the stuff that they do based on America's actual interests in the region, because really America, the country of America, the people of America, only have one interest in the Middle East, and that is peace and stability and oil. Actually, and the way you get oil is you make deals, not wars. And it would be so easy. We've got money. We've got a ton of money here. These Arabs and Persians, they fucking love money. Give them money and get oil. It's done like that. So easy, right? And in fact, that would even make us more money. That would make our oil companies more money. So, like, it doesn't even make fucking sense based on that. In fact, the oil thing is, like, one of the worst explanations for U.S. foreign policy. It's retarded. We actually have to have a specific oil reserve just for Israel in case Arabs decide to stop giving them oil. So we have to maintain an oil reserve for them. But because America is so big and has so much money and, frankly, has a lot of its own resources and can be fairly self-sufficient, Jews are like, this is a perfect staging ground. This is a perfect country to use because they can absorb a lot of these blows, where Europe is getting fucked over by American policy in terms of oil prices and energy prices and industry there. We can weather these blows with, like, relatively small increases in gas prices compared to Europe. So it's the perfect place for Jews to use, also all kinds of reasons. But the fact is, like, and if you think, like, even the North Korea shit isn't involved in Israel, you know, Israel lists North Korea as a belligerent in the 1973 war because they were arming those Arab countries. So even that, U.S. foreign policy does that is not ultimately and fundamentally connected to securing Israel and securing Israel only. And that's because there's absolutely nothing America does foreign policy-wise that actually helps any single person in America, even fucking rich oil executives.
The most salient aspect of oil policies is that it's used as a vector to create Zionist policies within your country. Like I said earlier, the plan BP had, if they maintained control over oil in Iran, was to bring in Africans into Iran. To do the work there,
right?
Like, that's what they want to do. Like, that's why they want to control. That's really why they want to control your oils, so that they can use it as a vector to diversify your country.
Also, so you can't use it as a vector to strengthen your country and go after Israel, because people tend to talk about Venezuela. Well, if you remember, when Hugo Chavez came in power, he's got Ahmadinejad over there, and they're, like, shaking hands and high fiving. And if you listen to the rhetoric of the Hugo Chavez government towards Israel. They were always like super pro-Palestine, anti-Israel, and that's a country sitting on a lot of oil. So you simply can't allow a country sitting on a lot of oil that's anti-Israel making deals with Iran. I mean, that's the thing, is that these countries, because of the way America acts and because of the way Israel acts, these countries start to form their own alliances. And it's retarded because all these countries have fucking oil. So we are making enemies. It's actually retarded. It's completely stupid. If oil is the reason for our foreign policy, why do we make an enemy out of every oil-producing state? It doesn't make sense. And we do it because what happens is the agitation means that these countries start to form alliances amongst themselves, and now we've got a real fucking problem.
There's one last sentence when we get to this article I was reading. Further complicating the historical reckoning is the CIA's own admission that many files related to the 1953 coup likely had been destroyed in the 1960s. So the United States goes and fucks up countries, and then they burn all the evidence.
Right. 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 Yeah. Yeah. So, I mean, and it's funny. And remember, man, the 1953 coup in Iran being the, it was a staple of all leftist talking points. They weren't entirely wrong. But again, the left is, they're too shy about the Jewish role in all of this. They just don't want to. The worst of all narratives is the one that Israel has anything to do with the oil strategy. That is just untenable. Like, that's the fucking problem. Like, that you get these leftists, you're like, explain to me.
They're getting left in the dust as history resumes with the Hamas war because they're trying to maintain their gay positions. And well, eventually you can only maintain that as long as nothing's going on. But when something's going on, you're going to be forced to pick a side.
Yeah, you can maintain that. The whole idea of like, I support Palestine, but I don't support anti-Semitism and terrorism. And Israel is a U.S. base to secure oil in the region. Like, you, with this actual war going on, all that shit has to go in the trash. You can't continue to sit here being like, well, I don't like – I mean, Jews are like demanding like you do caveats before you say anything, you know, about anything. Before any critiques of them are made, you have to make sure you say, well, terrorism and Hamas bad. But people are just starting to ignore that because it's getting retarded. Like, it's not even an issue anymore. But we should cover this March for Israel, but we'll do that.
Yeah, I was going to say, you want to do that
for after the break. Real quick, there's another little thing. We don't need to go into this too much, but this is something that happened on August of this year. It's something that we didn't maybe hear about. Indicted ex-FBI contractor threatened suicide unless minor boys sent him sexually explicit pictures. Feds.
So it's a Tuesday at the FBI.
Yeah, so this is just every other day. Brett James contacted roughly a dozen underage boys and asked them for nude photos, federal investigators said. He also shared his government building access badges via a chat in Discord, according to authorities. Access badges from the U.S. Attorney's Office, Eastern District of Virginia. Former FBI contractor repeatedly begged and threatened suicide unless underage boys sent him sexually explicit photos, according to a press release from the U.S. Attorney's Office, Eastern District of Virginia. Brett James, 26, of Arlington, contacted. Okay, so yeah, again, this is just Tuesday at the FBI. I just saw that article pop up in a group.
Yeah, grooming
boys in Discord. What?
Wow, this is almost as rare as a king having a hot wife.
I wanted to get around to Israeli lawmakers urging world leaders to accept Gaza refugees.
Yeah, that's something we have to talk about.
There's really obvious reasons for why they want them to come here and not go to Egypt.
Is that the Washington Post article?
Well, there's obvious reasons why they don't want them in Egypt. And there's obvious reasons why Egypt is saying no as well. And also, this is also this thing of this editorial that came out in the Wall Street Journal the other day, and there's been subsequent editorials and a conversation that is now actively going on about this. If you don't think they're not talking about this at the highest levels, you're absolutely wrong. And this has basically thrown cold water all over all the people suggesting that some kind of alliance of convenience can be made here. And frankly, all these Visegrad fucking countries are like, wait, what? Excuse me?
Yeah, well, let's think about this. It'd be very stupid to have Palestinian refugees next door to Israel, where they can then change local politics, form their own organizations, raid Israel. They don't – the fucking Jews in Israel don't want that. They want them to come here because guess what? If they do terrorism in the United States, then Israel gets to go, see, these Muslims are a threat.
And also, what they really want is them just to start, just to like do Netflix and chill, like just come here and do like Buffalo Wild Wings, PlayStation.
Either way, they win. Either way, Israel comes out ahead.
Yeah.
If they do a terrorism, then now you can try to activate the boomers and stoke that anti-Muslim sentiment. If they play Netflix all day or watch Netflix all day, then okay, fine. They're not harming Israel.
Yeah. So anyway, we'll do all that when we come back. We'll talk about all these things. So we'll see you guys next hour. Go to therightstuff.biz/paywall if you're listening to the free hour and get a subscription and support the network, support the show, and support your own people in your own country.
You're listening to TDS on The Right Stuff.
.biz.